Radio Warwickshire.
Hey, good evening everybody, and welcome to the Dougie Stone Radio Show. Getting some really good feedback at the moment from the show, so thanks very much for that, and keep them coming. I do like it. And tonight's show, I've got Bernard, who is a bit of an entrepreneur himself, and he's going to talk a bit about entrepreneurship and what it means to him, and I hope that helps you out in your journey. And then I've got Lindsay LeCue. She's got a vintage salon over in Birmingham and a custard factory, and I just had to go over and check it out. She's going to talk a bit about her journey as well, which is good. So hit me up at Dougie Stone on Twitter for any messages that you can and that you want me to answer, and I'll try and answer them for you. And as I say, if I can, I'll find someone who can. And the show notes for tonight will be on my website at Dougie Stone, and any links to the individuals, so go and check that out as well. And if you're interested in being on the show, then just hook up with me. And if you've got an interesting story and it relates to either entrepreneurship, adversity or dyslexia, I'd be lovely to speak to you and get you on the show. And as this show's airing tonight, I'm down in London. Well, it's not London really, but I'm at Kew Gardens for this week for our other business, which is Smoart. So if you're in and around Kew Gardens, why not pop along to the stand, come and say hello. It'd be great to have a chat with you. Come see what my amazing girl has created, and she can create something bespoke for yourself. So a little plug there for our business, why not, eh? So let's get on with it. Let's talk to Bernard Keevy. He's a great guy. Actually, like all my interviews, we had a meeting, and I said, oh, let's do an interview. And he went, do you want to book a meeting? And I went, nah. We're here together, let's do it now. So most of my interactions are unscripted, uninformed, and they don't even know what's going to happen just before it takes place. So that's why they come over very natural, because that's what they are, natural. So here we go.
Radio Warwickshire.
Take it away, but thanks for being on the show, Bernard. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks, Kirk. Well, really, a lot of small business owners who I meet, they're not really business owners because the business is them. So if they ever came to sort of try and sell that business, well, they wouldn't have anything to sell because, you know, the business is them, they work in the business.
Right.
If you look at what a real business is a business that will carry on running, you know, if you're not there.
Yeah.
And therefore, if you come to sell it, you've got something to sell that isn't you. So someone can buy your business, but they're not buying you. They haven't got to keep you on.
Yeah.
So I suppose an entrepreneur is someone who has businesses that they're not working in, that they, you know, own and but are above, and the businesses are separate. And a real entrepreneur doesn't really care too much what that business is. So, for example, if you look at Richard Branson, he's got loads of different businesses, but he doesn't care whether it's a railway line, you know, a railway service or an airline. As far as he's concerned, they're businesses. He doesn't work in them. He works, you know, above them and obviously works on developing them. But really, those businesses sort of stand separate to him as a person.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you've got a business that's a real business, it means that if you go on holiday, for instance, or you're not there, the business runs itself.
Because
the business has got systems, it's got repeatable processes, and it's got people who've got functions within the business. They know what they're doing, and they don't need you there. You know.
Yeah.
And in an ideal world, you would have a business that runs itself, and if you're an entrepreneur, you would probably then have several businesses that run themselves.
Yeah.
And they could be, like, one could be a greenhouse company, and one could be a bus company, and one could be a furniture maker. But, you know, they're not your passion. They're not things that you do. They're separate businesses that you own.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I've got that. And I think going back to the Richard Branson analogy with the... it comes up a lot, he does on this show.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, he's going to have to start funding it a bit. It's like the Branson show. But with whatever he does,
yeah.
he always like if you look at, I've been on his aircraft, we've all been on his trains, yeah. and he goes for that quality aspect, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
There's all, you know, when you're in his yeah. businesses because of what he does with it,
yeah.
tries to make that business the best it can be,
yeah.
be as profitable, but yeah. he does something different with it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has an image, and he has, I suppose, a vision for the businesses, but they're all separate to him.
Yeah.
And when you come to sell a business, the people who buy your business, they're interested in things like, the profit trends, the sales trends, the quality of workforce. But they want to buy a business that isn't going to be disrupted. You mentioned key person earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you buy a business, you don't want to buy a business where the key person in that business isn't going to be part of what you're buying.
No, that's true, because then it just dies, doesn't it?
Exactly.
And that's the reason why I have key person insurance, because if that person, God forbid, drops dead tomorrow, then your business stops, doesn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the challenge really is, it's the franchise model. The challenge is to build a business up, to put in place systems that you can then show other people how to do it, and it doesn't matter who's in a particular position at the time, they'll know what they're supposed to be doing, and they'll do it, and there's a system to follow.
Yeah, I mean, the one that when I work with people are trying to get their heads around, you know, businesses and processes, and whether you like them or not, I always use McDonald's as a prime example, because you can go into, one of the reasons they're successful is you can go into any McDonald's in the UK, and whatever you get, whether you think it's good or not, will be the same in every single one. The processes are the same. You know what you're getting, and you can replicate that.
And you can put someone in that position in that McDonald's or in that McDonald's, and they'll know what they're supposed to be doing, because there's manuals. We just met in Starbucks, didn't we? It's exactly the same.
Starbucks. Yeah, Starbucks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah
and, you know, any proper business. If you get a job with, you know, a big company, the first thing they do is they sort of induct you and they tell you what you're supposed to do in the job and what the job description is. It's all systemised, isn't it?
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, if that person leaves, they put someone else in and they tell them exactly how to do it. So it's, you know, the business will run itself.
Yeah.
It's not dependent on the owner or the people in it.
Yeah, I'm really into systems, and I'm a real process nut. I really like processes and the way they work. And just picking up on that, because I know you've not mentioned it, but I'd like you to mention it, because you do something with businesses, don't you? You do something with a system that...
Well, the system, what I work on is strategic marketing.
Right.
And the strategic marketing, it's called strategic because it's a way of getting from one point to another by doing sort of steps along the way. Well, it's cumulative and logical.
Right.
I suppose you could say it's scientific, but what you do is you build each time. So, in other words, you've got to do things in a certain order, which is what a system is.
Yeah.
So, if you're marketing your business, the first thing you've got to get right is what you're selling, your proposition. Then you've got to work out who you want to sell it to, who your ideal customer is, sometimes called a niche.
Yeah.
Then you've got to work out what it is that ideal customer really wants. So you've got to understand what the ideal customer is looking for. And then you've got to innovate your business to give them even more of what they want, so that you are head and shoulders above the competition, if you like. You become the logical choice. They'd be a fool to do business with anyone else. That's the argument. There's a bloke called Peter Drucker, who's a famous marketing and management expert, who said that there's only two important things in business. One is innovation, which is, I know what you do, and the other is marketing. And really the two are intertwined, because you innovate your business to give your ideal customer more and more of what they want. So once you've worked out what your proposition is and what they want, it's only then that you can actually start marketing it effectively.
Yeah.
The big mistake a lot of people make is they start marketing their business before they've done the other bits.
Yeah, true.
So you haven't really got anything to market. So then you come out with, you know, we're the best and we're the cheapest and we're the most reliable. But you haven't actually got anything to back that up.
Yeah, you've got no tangible evidence on Avid or anything. It's
exactly,
like, it's good that.
Yeah.
No, that's really interesting. So, Bernard, where can people find you? And, you know, what's your business called, Pat, first?
Well, my company's called Baltimore Business Consultancy. That's a bit of a mouthful.
It is.
But if you wanted to find out more about what I do, they could go to www.financiallyfreeforlife, where the four is a number four, .co.uk.
Yeah, I think you should check it out, because Bernard knows what he's talking about, and he's a really cool guy, and that's why I wanted to get him on the show today. Thanks for coming along today on this miserable day it is at the minute. But
there's loads more I could have mentioned about before my system, which is the six-step profit formula, but that's for another day.
Yeah, well, I'll get you on. We'll get on for a full show, but I wanted to get a quick session with you, as it were, for the part of the show. Thanks for being on it.
Thanks. Cheers,
Bernard.
Your Warwickshire.
Well, it's a big thanks for Bernard for being on the show. It was a really good interview, that. Like the interaction with him. And it was funny because, like I said at the start, he he thought he was going to reschedule an interview, but we just did it in the other room. We went into a quiet room, and then I think it was Freddie Mercury in the background started hoovering. But anyway, our next guest is Lindsley Q, and I tracked her down a few weeks ago. I went to B&I as a sub, and she was there as a visitor, and I thought, yeah, I really like what you're about, so I invited her along to my group, and I went to see her at a place in the Custard Factory in Birmingham, which is brilliant, and here we go. Right, well, I've actually come over for this part of the show. I've come over to Birmingham. I'm in the Custard Factory, and I've come to see Lindsley Q. Amazing name, isn't it? Well, you ought to see her as well, because she's pretty amazing too. And she's got a salon. I'm going to let her talk about it, but what I'm after doing is find out her story, how she's found herself here. And I think she was a bit of an entrepreneur when she was younger, so I think she's going to tell us about that. Thanks for coming on the show, Lindsay.
Thank you, Kurt. Thanks for inviting me. So talking about how I started, really. When I was a kid, I always had businesses on the side. So yeah. I would always love the idea of making a bit of money. I like being independent. And I remember going to a little bead shop by my gran's house when I was younger and buying a load of beads and thinking, right, this is dead cheap, you know. Loads of different beads. It's really fun when you're a kid doing that kind of thing as well. And then I'd make them into earrings and necklaces. And then I realised, oh, I've bought about 50p's worth of beads and I can sell this for £3 or £4. So I thought, why doesn't everyone do this? This is madness. You can buy something, spend a bit of time, sell it for more. Excellent. And that concept just stuck with me so much because I just love that transactional nature of business and adding value and then selling it on.
And do you know what that is you've just described? That's what you spend 2 years doing an MBA for. That's an MBA right there.
I've done
buy something, add value to it, make sell it for more money. Brilliant, there you go.
I spent 3 years doing a business degree and I learnt more when I was 8 doing earrings. So I've come at it from both sides. And so I love doing that. And I used to do fairs at the school and sell them. And I probably got loads of sympathy buys from my parents, friends and stuff. But who cares? You know, that's what you do in business anyway, isn't it?
Well, a lot of the times, whatever you do, you start off, even when you're a grown-up. If you've got a product or a service that your family can use, 9 times out of 10, they're going to buy it off.
Because of course.
They want to see you progress, don't they? They want to see you go and everything.
That's support great. You, yeah, exactly.
So what happened from there then? You're an entrepreneur now, and you've always been an entrepreneur, and I think that's really interesting. A lot of people are entrepreneurs throughout their lives, and so you've done that, selling earrings for £3, great, making a bit of cash. What happened after that then?
I was always obsessed with everything to do with business. I mean, I always had that thing where my sister who works with me now in the business makes me lashes. You turn everything into making money out of something. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but she used to have friends come round to the house and I went, I'm going to start doing a kids club, charge £2 at a time. Mum was like, all right then. So I'd charge her friends' mums for them to come over and I'd teach them something each week. Anything just to turn it into a business. I just loved it. And then did Young Enterprise at high school. That was a real cementer for me because it actually was the first time when I'd really sort of actually understand what it means to have the structure of a business.
Yeah.
And I went into the first meeting and I said, I want to be MD or I'm leaving. And they said, yeah. Yes, stupidly.
So you're shame retired
so,
girl, aren't you?
So
shame retired, you know.
It's a bit of an asshole. But I really enjoyed that and enjoyed that experience. And then finished school in sixth form and I actually took a year out because I didn't know whether I wanted to go. I just wanted to start my own business. But all my friends were going to uni and they were having a great time and I just didn't know what to do. My parents said, well, if uni's not right for you, that's fine. In the end, I went. I think probably out of fear, really, because you think, well, I don't know how to start a business. I don't have any money. Mm. I don't know what I'm doing. And I was only 18, 19. So I went to uni, did 3 years. 4 years actually at uni because I did 3 years and then I had a year in between in industry. Applied for an events job because that's kind of the thing I wanted to do. I loved organising events, kind of what I did for the Young Enterprise, and I loved doing it. Used to do bits on the side. And they ended up putting me in the project management team, not the event team, which I didn't realise till the day I got there. Kind of had a bit of a panic attack on the first day thinking I'm spending a whole year working. I worked at the Greater London Authority, the Mayor's Office in London, and because it's near where I went to uni, and got my Prince 2 project management, that kind of thing. And then that was the start of my corporate career, really, because I got kind of engulfed in that then. You know, I started doing that and I thought, oh, project management, event management, I can see the link. You know, it's organising things, it's using plans, blah, 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 getting different suppliers together for the same outcome. And then finished my degree off, went straight into local government, worked there for a few years, worked my way up, just did like internal consultancy, and like we've talked about before, business process reengineering and all that stuff that actually I kind of love, but wasn't what I wanted to do necessarily. And did all project program management, and then worked in the employment sector, and then just my last job, I was working from home, and it gave me a little bit more time and space to realise. The last manager I ever had was really amazing. He was a really great guy, but previous manager I had before had just been, you know, I'd probably antagonise them in the sense that I wasn't a very good subordinate, you know.
I would challenge. You went to the MD, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Surprisingly, you can't just walk into local government and go, I'll run this place. Yeah. No, Dad doesn't work like that.
Make me the Prime Minister.
Yeah. I just, you know, over time, I think anyone who identifies with this knows that while you're doing that career and you're getting, you know, I used to go, I've changed organisations every couple of years. I'd go for the promotions. I'd go, for the higher pay, and I was doing all right, but I wasn't happy, or at least I wasn't truly me or happy. You know, I look totally different then to I do now. There was no creative expression. Imagine. You know, just normal grey suits.
And this is the thing, it's about blending in. We are I'm doing a talk tomorrow about it as well. And it's about blending in. And it's, you know, that's what happens. You've got to fit into the culture. And it's not you, is it? And it's I find it very bizarre that we do it. I really, really do.
Oh, yeah. If I rocked up any of my old jobs looking like I do now, I wouldn't have got the job for a start.
Check it out, people. Don't worry. She's not scary or anything. She's just got bright, bluey green hair, leather jacket, all that sort of stuff. And we'll talk about that a bit more. So I don't want you to think there's something adrift. But yeah,
just look a bit more that kind of alternative look, as opposed to just something that people find more mainstream and acceptable. And a lot of companies have rules that employees can't have bright coloured hair and they can't have tattoos. And that's fine. And I do understand that in certain environments. But, you know, and at the time, it wasn't like I was dying to do that. I didn't even know it. But I just started doing... So I realised I wasn't happy, really, in my penultimate last job, and started just organising events on the side. And I just do theme nights, like ticketed events, like Dirty Dancing Night and Burlesque Nights. I don't do burlesque, but
I know someone who does. Yeah, well, we both know someone who does.
Yeah, of course. And belly dancing shoot.
Oh, belly Helena, if you're listening, belly dancing. I've not seen that yet.
Did I just let the cat out of the bag?
No, I think she does. I thought she does. But
It's all similar worlds in some way, but. Yeah. So started doing all that kind of thing. I just absolutely loved it. And it just, when I was in my final job, it started getting to the point where I went to a few networking meetings and actually met a few similar women who were in the same position as me. Corporate jobs, did things on the side, made cupcakes, photography, whatever. And we just kind of got together as a team, really, and decided to start doing things together. And that kind of bore the initial, like, oh, let's do a photo shoot. So we did a photo shoot in a vintage style. And then they put it on Facebook. And then people started going, I want a photo shoot like that. I want my hair doing like that. And I thought, here we go. There's something in this. And I'd never thought anyone would pay to have a makeover like Marilyn Monroe. The whole vintage thing wasn't in at the time. It was about 7-8 years ago. And I'll just teach myself how to do vintage hair. So I did. I just went on YouTube, taught myself how to do it, worked with some other people who did makeup and bits and bobs, and we just started offering party packages. And then over time, they sort of moved on to other things and didn't continue doing it. So I just sort of pulled it all in-house and taught myself photography and taught myself how to do everything so I could just do everything, which I think a lot of entrepreneurs do at the first, which is a bit of a nightmare.
I think it's important. It's important to learn that either you either get someone else to do stuff for you, or what tends to happen initially, we do it ourselves because obviously you've not got a lot of income.
Exactly.
And things like that. And I think I've picked up on something there, which I think is the entrepreneurial thing, which a lot of people miss. The conversation or someone saying, oh, I'd like my paint, I'd like your photo shoot. A lot of people probably just miss that as a comment, but actually the entrepreneur has gone, there's something in here, something's happening. And I think it's fascinating the amount of people that fall into a into something, onto a business, because they've picked up on something. Because years, 8, 9 years ago, you never dreamed of having this facility, I should imagine.
Not at all, no, absolutely. And everything that we do under this roof now is an add-on. You know, it's been a... it's been a case of, you know, people, customers saying, I'd like to do that as part of that. I'd like to do this. I'd like to... Okay, all right, then we'll start offering it then if you want it. You know, responding to demand, really. And then it's just grown from there. And then people kept saying on Facebook, oh, I can't make it to your Birmingham one. I'd really like to, you know, why don't you open another one? And my sister lived in Leeds and she worked for the business. She used to do our mobile bookings and fairs all around the country doing hair and makeup and things. And then we said, should we open one up there? You know, you quit your job. And she was like, ah. And so she took that leap as well and we opened another one up there. And then that's been a couple of years now, so...
Excellent. So is it plans... Did you say something about franchising? Because I picked that up the other week, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so that's the next plan, really. We are offering franchise opportunities now so people can replicate, you know, our entire business model, which is sort of a bricks and mortars, 50s Americana, vintage beauty parlour, all under one roof kind of premises in different cities. And we're talking to a few people at the moment. Nothing concrete yet, but it's just launched about a month ago. So,
Well, they better move fast because I can see this is really good. That's
thank you.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
So how long have you been here then, the custard factory?
About 5 years now.
Right, okay. Yeah. So your story's great, and that's one reason why I wanted to come and see you. I wanted to specifically come and see you here rather than doing it in somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted the feel of it. And I'll probably do a video on that, be on my YouTube later. I'll have a wander around, and there's... It's like stepping back in time into the 1950s. It's great. I can't describe it as much as I could with video, so check that out on Dougie Stone YouTube.
Talk
about what's going on here then. So what you were telling me before about hen parties.
Yeah, so we do a lot of hen parties. So we'll have groups of women coming in. We do kids' parties as well, all age groups really, birthdays, that sort of thing. A lot of hens though. Come in and they'll have a makeover. They might do a photo shoot. So when you see the video of the premises, you'll see that every wall is like a set. So we have like an Americana, American 50s diner area with a pink Cadillac and... not a full Cadillac sofa.
Yeah.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? And a beauty parlour area. So we use that as a set as well as a functional salon. And then people come and have afternoon tea. They have milkshakes. They have dance classes, crafting, pin-up academy, all sorts. And then we do shopping and got our own cosmetics lines. We sell that and we sell clothes. So it's just like a one-stop shop, really. We like to just, anyone interested remotely, whether they live this lifestyle or whether they just think it's fun for a day, just come and just have a milkshake or have the full works, they fancy.
Going round there into the salon area where it's all sort of, I can just imagine what it's like there on a Saturday when everyone's getting made over, because it's like, I don't know, it's like stepping into Greece, isn't it?
Yeah,
I can just imagine. That's what it's like, and I can imagine all
beauty
that sort of stuff.
Beauty school dropout.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's like walking to a film set. I think it's great, and I'm so glad I come over this morning.
Oh, thank you.
To see you.
And that's good to get that reaction, because we're quite girly in here, so it's nice that men do appreciate...
I think I'm in touch with my feminine side, but don't tell anyone about that.
Yeah, yeah, it's just an appreciation, isn't it, of... something a bit different.
Yeah, I like things that are different. I like people that are following the passions, following the dreams, and that's what I'm trying to do with this show. You've had an idea and you've gone out and done it, and a lot of people have gone, I'd be quite, because your corporate job, you was getting well paid, and it's almost like the golden handcuffs, isn't it, that, I'm leaving that job and it's X amount a year. Oh, what am I going to go? How am I going to live? And I don't want... I think it's a shame when people then get to being like 15, 60 and then go, shit, I wish I'd have done that.
Yeah,
we should
absolutely.
Have took that out. I mean, my wife was similar. She had a really good job, and said, son was young, and she said, "That's it. I want to go and study design."
Brilliant.
So I was like, "You know the time."
Yeah, yeah.
When
you've got two incomes. Yeah, yeah.
But quite rightly, I said, "No, it's right, because what we don't want to do is even if it didn't work out, and it has worked out, even if it didn't work out."
Yeah.
The worst thing to do is have regret. So at least she's done it and she's on it, and it's great. And I think I just want to really encourage people to really think about what they're doing now.
Absolutely.
What they could do and what they want to do, and just go and do it. And guess what? If it doesn't work out, go and get a job.
Yeah, exactly. You can always go back and
not that you will, but
won't. Yeah, you won't want to, and you won't have to, but you can. And it's not the end of the road, you know. And I sincerely believe that. You know, I think there's a misconception that you have to get a big business loan out and you have to do this, that and the other to start a business. You don't necessarily, some businesses you do, but you don't necessarily. I started this on not very much money at all. I'd made the plan in my head, right, I'm going to leave this job in 6 months' time. I started saving some of my salary. My husband and I actually had a house that he'd owned years and years ago with a much smaller mortgage because he's a bit older than me. And we bought another house, beautiful house. And I said, and again, like you say, you've got to pay your mortgage, you've got to keep your job. We just made the decision to sell that house and move back to this other little one.
Right.
In a town we didn't necessarily want to live in, so that we could do this. So we thought, take the financial pressure out of it. And I saved a bit of money, but I started this business on hardly any investment whatsoever. I'm talking about a few hundred quid. I'm not talking about thousands.
Yeah.
And then every time I made some profit, instead of paying myself loads of money, I would reinvest it. And we grew it. So I think it doesn't have to be scary to think I'm going to have to get myself in 100 grand's worth of debt and pay it off over 3 years to start a business. It doesn't have to be like that.
I mean, because you've got a lot of stuff. You've got a lot. For someone to replicate this now, what you've got, that I'm looking around and thinking, shit, there's pound signs. I swore that. There's pound signs everywhere, I'll get told off.
Yeah.
There's pound signs everywhere, you know, like that barber's chair you've got in there for sale. Beautiful, original barber's shop chair.
Yeah.
You've built it up.
And yeah.
What I think what a lot of people see something like this and go, well, I could never afford it. But you have to... I mean, one of the things I say, and I'm going to use it in a lot of my talks, is the only thing that's instant in your business is the coffee in the cupboard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not instant, is it? And build it up nice and steady.
Yeah,
and
I like that, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah? It does take time. We started in a much smaller space and we've built that up. And, you know, that's one of the things I say to the people I'm talking about who want to franchise our business. It's not like going and buying a franchise, you know, a big brand one, where you have to buy all certain stuff and it's going to literally cost you 100 grand or 70 grand or whatever to set it up, plus the franchise fee. But I can get you in a slightly smaller premises like this, I'll help you set it up for a couple of grand.
Wow.
And that sounds mad.
Wow, people, I'm telling you, that is brilliant.
Plus the franchise fee.
So how did people get in contact with you? That's the thing. You've got website and stuff.
Yeah, so if you search, I think the easiest thing is just to spell Le Queue, and people search that, it tends to come up. So it's L-E space K-E. E-U-X.
I'm glad you did that, because I'm dyslexic and I've got a clue. Well, I can just about say it.
I think in hindsight I probably wouldn't have called the business that, because no one knows how to pronounce it, no one knows how to spell
it.
Well,
it is Linton,
what it is
and
now.
And it sounds really good, doesn't it?
People think I'm it's
fake. I put on Facebook this morning, I'm going to see Lindsay Le Queue. I mean, that sounds great, it looked like a film star.
People think I made the name up, but I didn't.
It's brilliant. Oh, sorry, you're saying, I didn't interrupt you.
That's all right.
So where do people, so they go onto the website?
Yeah, go onto the website and everything's on there. We've got a couple of different websites, Le Queue Vintage Salon.
Yeah.
.co.uk, Le Queue Parties for party packages, and lequeuecosmetics.com, which is our cosmetics. And we have all sorts. We've got an online shop as well, so people can buy things and all things to do with this lifestyle at lequeuegirl.com.
Yeah.
So that's everything. And then we're on all the usual social media as well. Instagram's, we put the most on. Instagram every day, we post daily with all of our images of what we do.
Really good. That's excellent. Well, we'll have a chat afterwards, but for the radio, we'll have to start cutting it. Bringing it to a close, but it's been great to be here.
Thank you.
And I'm really excited to see what you're doing, and I want to see things progress as we go on. So
thanks
for being on the show today, and see you soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kirk. Cheers.
Radio Warwickshire.
Well, two great guests again. Bernard, thanks for that. Thanks for the information. And Lindsay, yeah, she's full of fun, full of life, and yeah, check her out. Go to the Custard Factory, especially if you've got any girls or you're doing a hen party, because she's really good what she's got going on there. And I liked her that much when I met her. She's actually on my team now at 4 Networking at Leamington Breakfast. So if you want to meet her face-to-face, come and book in and you won't be disappointed. She's good fun. She's good fun. So anyway, if you're sat there thinking, I hate my job, I dread Monday mornings, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, it's driving me insane. Well, have a think about what you're passionate about and try and turn that into a business. And you don't just have to jack your job in. I keep saying this to people. You don't just have to throw it all away and have no income. You can do, but you can do it while you're still working. So weekends or at night or whatever, start investigating your passion and your business and see if there's opportunities out there. And as we go through these shows, hopefully some of the things that people are talking about, like niche and branding and social media and what it is to be an entrepreneur and franchising and crowdfunding, well, that should help you get on with it, because
everyone I'm interviewing so far has been just like you, a normal person that's had a bit of an idea, decided to turn it into a business, and they've run with it. So you can do it as well. I'm telling you, you out there listening now, sat there thinking, oh, I don't want to go to work on Monday morning. Well, start doing something. My tagline is, and remember it, you're never alone once you've met Dougie Stone. Until the next show, I'll speak to you soon. Take care, people. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Radio Warwickshire.